Good morning. How are you today? I don't believe I've ever been called a good reverend. That's a new one for me, but we'll go with that. I'll take whatever I can get. Good to see you today. Thank you for being here on Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend. And just wanted to let you know that we are to the end of this series. This is the final in the series of the I've Always Wondered. These are questions that you guys have asked, and today's questions, there were several of them that sort of were right around this, had to do with purpose, had to do with the whole idea of what is my real purpose? And the idea that I even had conversations with some of the people writing these questions and just said, you know what, sometimes I get a feeling that God is doing something, but I can't quite tell what it is, or there's a whole idea of, I feel like sometimes I'm missing something. I've gotten to the middle of my life. I don't want to miss whatever it is that God has for me to experience. And so that's what we're going to look at today, because these questions are pretty common. You know, from a very early age, we all have dreams. We have dreams of greatness. In fact, we're going to have a timeline that we sort of follow up here. And it starts out there on that side A over there with dreams of greatness. And we do. We think of different things that we want to be. I'm sure at the age of six, there were things that you thought, this is what I really aspire to. So Stephen's going to play a short video for us about this.
I'm going to be a bubble master.
It's my passion to be singing on a stage.
I'll probably buy Jupiter.
I want to be a teacher,
a fireman,
a vet.
I could be the firewoman vet.
Oh, wow.
I am going to be a spaceship engineer.
Nice.
Time goes fast.
How did I ever get to be this age?
It's like you go to sleep and you're 25, and you wake up and you're 70.
When I was thinking about being 55 years old and thinking I was going to be old and decrepit, and the next thing I knew, I was 60.
My babies are now 71 and 67.
I love that guy. Life flies by, so pay close attention to it. And fairness of disclosure, I'll tell you, it's a TD Ameritrade advertisement where you're actually investing your life. But I thought it fit pretty well with this today. And, you know, it's interesting. Time flies by, but pay close attention. I think we can get to the end of our lives and just sort of wonder what happened with all of this, or get into the middle of your life and think, well, where are we with this? As I was doing some research, and, well, the Google was my research for this particular question, but I just wonder, what do kids aspire to be? And, you know, there were the very obvious ones, the astronaut, doctor, scientist, veterinarian, teacher, nurse, fireman, musician, artist, dancer, singers, writers. There were a couple not so obvious. One kid wanted to grow up and be a pirate. Another kid wanted to be a baseball player and an ice cream man, so that on the days he wasn't playing baseball, he could sell ice cream in the stadium. So I thought, well, you know, he's thinking through the whole thing with that. The thing is that they may or may not end up being the dream. They may or may not end up being the thing that you actually do. But all these great dreams that we have as a kid, they do point to something that's very important. And we all have a deep sense of significance, because we're all built with this whole idea that eventually we'll become somebody who makes a real difference in life, which is the next thing, there it is, somebody who makes a real difference. And it points to the fact that we all have this drive inside of us to become that person. I'll tell you this, sometimes the clues are there in that dreams of greatness stage. Sometimes they aren't, but they all point to the fact that we are driven to become somebody who's going to make a real difference. And in some places, you know, doctors, engineers, teachers, whatever, that kind of thing, sometimes that really is clues that God is planting in their lives that helps them along to become that person. I don't know if the bubble master kid's going to become a bubble master. Not really sure what a bubble master is, but sometimes we just see that they all are very important. So what we do on this line between A and B, what we do on this becomes very important. Do we actually become somebody who makes a real difference? Stephen's going to make that a dotted line so we can look at it. But the decisions that we make, what we're doing, how we're directed on all of that becomes very important. And it also answers how effectively we're able to answer today's questions of, am I missing something? Did God create me for something different from what I'm doing? Or maybe for something deeper or more, am I missing the opportunities that God has given me in my life? Our dreams of greatness may contain the real answer, they may not, but they all point to the fact that we were designed and built by God to be somebody who makes a real difference. I tell you, when I was looking at my research, a lot of these kids were asked a follow-up question on, you know, what you wanted to be. They asked why you wanted to be that. And two things came up with them, and they were this. One is, well, I want to make money, earn money so that I can live, you know, buy a house and food and all that kind of stuff. But the second one, there was always a component with these kids of helping other people. Even the ice cream dude wanted to make other people happy by giving them ice cream, or just helping other people, helping family, and helping community. Pray with me as we dive into this and see what God's Word tells us about our question today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good day, God. We thank you for the purpose that you create us with. And I just pray that today, as there are people sitting right here in this room, God, who probably have this question or have had this question and wonder, and I pray, God, that you will draw us to the answers that you're wanting us to see. I pray that you will help us pay attention to your word. I pray that you will help us pay attention to your Holy Spirit. And God, as you whisper things in our ears, I pray that you will give us the courage to do exactly what you're leading us to do. So we give this time to you. We surrender ourselves to you. We surrender our listening to you, our hearts to you, so that you can speak directly into us. We love you and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 shows us the whole idea about purpose. It's right to feel this way. It's right to have dreams of greatness. It's right to feel like we need to be somebody who makes a real difference in other people's lives as well. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we would walk in them." When I was 5 years old, I was living in the great metropolis of Chiefland, Florida. I'm sure you've heard of it and been there many times. It's about 2 hours from here. It's on the other side of Gainesville. We lived actually out of town of the metropolis because it was so bustling and busy with its nearly 2,000 residents that lived in the city. I believe about 4 years ago, they eclipsed the 2,000 mark. And so now, yeah, it's crazy. But when I was 5 years old, on our television, we got one channel. If the antenna was turned in the right direction, I would actually be out here turning the antenna while my dad yelled and turn it a little more this way, a little more that way, so that we could pick up channel 20 ABC out of Gainesville. And when I was 5 years old, it was 1972. I bet you can imagine what was on television during that time. Every night at news time, it was the Vietnam War. And it was interesting because I would look at that and bombs would be falling. Horrible things are happening and people losing their lives. And there was so much confusion surrounding that war and everything. And I'm 5 years old and I'm just watching it. But I always had this very deep and strong sense, I've got to go there someday. I have got to get to this place called Vietnam. Now, when I was 9 years old, I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, I had known about Jesus and understood what he did, but it was at the age of 9 I actually surrendered my life, saying, you know what, Jesus, I trust you to forgive me of my sins so that I don't have to be separated from God anymore. I also trust you to lead me so that I can follow in my life. I did that when I was 9. Just a couple of months later, I went to Lake Yale, which is another fabulous lake camp experience in Florida. And I was basically at that camp. There were about 19 other guys in my cabin. I didn't really know very many of them because not that many people from my church went. Half of them were throwing up, and I was dodging that half because I don't like throwing up. It didn't sound like fun. But the very last night of that camp, they were saying, what is God leading you to do with your life? And I felt so overwhelmingly strong, two different things. The first one, it says, if you feel like God is calling you into mission work, like overseas mission, go and join that group over there. And so I knew that's what God wanted. I just knew it. So I'm walking over there to that group, and I'm listening, and we're all outside, big campfire. It feels all nice, the whatever was going on. So I'm walking over to that group, and as I'm getting near that group, I hear the guy announce, now, if you feel like God's calling you into church ministry, go join this group. I'm like going, wait a minute, I feel that too. It's like going, okay, wait a minute, am I going to feel everything here tonight? Or like, what's going on here? So I felt like missions. I also felt like church ministry. Half the way through the missions talk, I said, excuse me, I've got to run over here. I feel called to two things. So I went over to the other group and joined the church ministry people too. But what happened is that sense of Vietnam never left me. I mean, it was still strong at the age of 9. Now, as a 9-year-old, I didn't know how to play it out. And so I continued to think about it. And I did what any kid would do growing up, is I studied Vietnam through the movies. And so I watched every Vietnam War movie that I could. I would not recommend a lot of them for you, but I did watch them. And I studied Vietnam through the movies. And, wow, that was an interesting education. By the time I get to college, I went to the University of Florida. I am a Gator fan. Yeah, sad, whatever. But unfortunately, during my college years were a time of drifting for me. I drifted away from God. I drifted away from His Word. And I wasn't really paying very close attention to what God wanted me to do. Oddly enough, the drive to Vietnam never disappeared. It never did. Finally, at the age of 32, I made it to Vietnam. And we lived there for 3.5 years. Let me tell you, it's different from the movies. A lot of it's very different from the movies. But I lived there for 3.5 years until the government invited us to leave and never come back. So we took their invitation and we moved on with the rest of our lives. But I got to tell you this, some things I did right and some things I just didn't do right. Some things along this line, this dotted line, from dreams of greatness toward becoming a person that makes a real difference, some things I did okay and some things I didn't do okay. But here's the thing. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that there are some very important drivers toward reaching our true purpose. So if you're the person that's asking the question, I don't want to miss something here. I don't want to just live my whole life and get to be 112 years old when I finally come to the end of my life and go, man, if only. I don't want to be that person that gets that age and has regrets about what I could have done but didn't do. And it doesn't matter what age we are. We can always start from today if that's still a question that you have. It doesn't matter if you're 6. It doesn't matter if you're 40. It doesn't matter if you're like Miss Faye, who has her 93rd birthday tomorrow. It doesn't matter where you are. God wants us to discover the purpose that He has for us today and forward. Ephesians 2:10 tells us a few things. The first thing is this, is to put your trust in Jesus. It says that we were created in Christ Jesus for these good works. And I can tell you this, because of my sin, I am separated from God. But if I trust in Jesus Christ, I am no longer separated from God. For He has taken the power and the penalty of sin away from me. I now have a relationship with God and I'm following Him. This is significant because you know why? God is the creator of true purpose. My real purpose, God created me. He created you. And not on accident, He created you on purpose with a purpose. And so the person, the God who actually created this person is going to be the same one who gives me purpose and design. He made me specifically who I am. But apart from Him and outside of that relationship, I can't discover it. But as I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I start walking on this dotted line. And on those dotted lines, I start to realize inside of my relationship with Jesus, He shows me different opportunities that begin to arise and give me clues to what my real purpose is. Trust in Jesus Christ. This is an important piece. Now, you will trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't need to trust in Him and believe in Him again, but you do need to trust Him for the rest of your life. Every single day, this is a key component. Once you belong to Jesus, you will always belong to Him. But every single day, we need to wake up and say, I trust you with today. I trust you again with today. You created me. You gave me purpose. But the second thing that we see there too is that we've got to pay attention. Now, it tells us in this verse that God prepared these good works ahead of time so that you can walk in them. You know what that's telling us? Is that we've got to pay attention, because on this dotted line that we're walking right here, this is where all of those opportunities are that show us, this is what I'm meant to do today. This is what God's purpose is for me this year. This school year, this is what God's purpose for me for the rest of my life. God gives us assignments and opportunities. God builds purpose in our whole lives. But if we don't pay attention, we can easily go through a whole year and miss it and wonder where it went. But this verse calls us to pay attention, because God has placed all of these things and assignments and opportunities along our timeline of our life for us to see. And the question that rises, are you seeing them? Do you see them? And all he's drawing us to do is just to pay attention to them. But you know what else it tells us? Is that you don't have to create your purpose. I think this verse is good news. We can stop wearing ourselves out trying to create meaning in our lives. We don't need to create purpose. We just need to discover it, because God has already put it right there on your timeline. We discover it. That's why we need to pay attention, so that we can discover that. The third thing is persevere. It calls us to walk in these things, or to walk in His plan. This verse does. And that walking is a continual walking. Day by day, minute by minute, moment by moment, walking with Him into all of these opportunities that He's already provided for us. This does not say that we check in with God once a week, or twice a week if you go to one of those Wednesday night things. He says walk with Him. That's an everyday exercise. It's important that we walk with Him, because here's the deal. What if God decides to give you one of those opportunities on a Tuesday? Well, sorry, God, but I only walk with you on Sunday and Wednesday. I don't walk with you on Tuesday, so I need you to... That doesn't work that way. Sometimes the opportunities will arise on a Tuesday, and He's calling us to walk with Him every single bit of the way, so that we don't miss the opportunities and the purpose that He's drawing us into. But the other thing about walking with Him is that all kinds of obstacles are going to be thrown at us. I tell you, the enemy does not want us to discover God's purpose. He hates that. In fact, you know what one of the enemy's greatest schemes and plans is to distract you, or to cause you to stop just short of discovering the opportunity. He throws those obstacles at us every single day, so that we don't see those opportunities. Because you know, the devil's afraid of two things. Our enemy's afraid of two things. Number one is this. Well, I'll tell you why he's afraid of these two things. If I'm walking in God's purpose, God created me, and I'm walking in the purpose He designed for me, everything fits. The contentment that is experienced in that is unbelievable. Unlike any kind of contentment that this world can provide for us. Unlike that. And what the devil's afraid of is this. Is one, when you're doing that, you know what you do? You bring Him glory. Chris tells us that all the time. What is our job and our purpose? It's to bring God glory. When you're living out the purpose that God gave to you, it always points back to God and it gives Him glory. The enemy hates that. The second thing, he hates it when you're living out your purpose, because that contentment is growing so deep in you, that causes you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and gets you more entrenched in your relationship with God, and it just drives the enemy crazy. And I tell you, I'm not telling you to stop your job as a teacher, an engineer, or whatever it is that you're doing. I'm not telling you to stop your job as that. You need to do what God purposed you to do. Because a lot of times people hear this and go, well, I got to stop and I got to get into some kind of ministry job or something. Please don't do that. It's not as fun as it sounds like it is all the time. But I tell you what, some days I have kind of challenging days. Sometimes I have fun days, whatever it is. But the one thing that keeps me here, you know what it is that when God called me as a 9-year-old to go into missions and to go into church ministry, He wasn't kidding. That was His design for me. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. Do I have great days all the time? Not all the time. But I always have this sense inside of me that I'm living out the purpose that God calls me to live in. And that gives me great contentment, and it brings Him glory. And so what I'm telling you is when you discover that purpose, or if you have discovered that purpose, live in the purpose that God has called you into, whatever it is and wherever it is. Now, as we trust and we pay attention and we persevere, those are things that God calls us to do. But what's Jesus doing in all of this? It's interesting because he shows us in his scripture. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13, it shows us what is Jesus doing to draw us and help us see this real purpose. Luke 24, verse 13. Now, the same day, there were two of them on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So let's just picture Jerusalem's over here, right? These two guys, they're walking away from Jerusalem and they're going over there to Emmaus. Now, very disappointing events have just happened in their lives. There was this guy named Jesus. He was incredible. He was doing all kinds of amazing things. He spoke with amazing power, and he was able to do miracles and all that. We were sure that he was going to be the answer to everything, to all the problems that Israel had to deliver. We knew he was going to be the guy, and he's dead. That's just not good. That doesn't seem good. So they're walking away. They're walking here. So you see, these two guys were walking on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What is this dispute that you're having with each other as they're walking?" And they stopped walking and they looked discouraged. Okay, picture it again. You got the two guys. There's Jerusalem, there's Emmaus. They're walking away. As far as they know, some random dude has walked up with them. Now, we know it's Jesus, but they were prevented by Jesus from understanding and recognizing that it really is him. So all they think is this random guy is walking with them, having a conversation about, why are you so discouraged? What's going on with this? And what are you arguing about? So verse 18, the one named Cleopas answered him and said, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happen in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked him. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene." This cracks me up. They're talking to him about Jesus, but it is Jesus. But they don't know it's Jesus. And the whole thing's, it's a little comedic, I mean, quite honestly, if you step back from it, if it wasn't so sad what they were dealing with. "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, powerful in action and in speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priest leaders and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to be the one about to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb of Jesus, and they didn't find his body, and they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. So some," it's like a roller coaster, right? "So some of them who were with us went to the tomb and they found it just as the women said." They didn't see him at all. "So he said to them, 'How unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?'" And here's the key right here, verse 27. "Then beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted for them all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. So they came near to the village where they were going, and he gave the impression he was going farther. But they urged him," they urged Jesus, "'Stay with us because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him." They knew it was Jesus the whole time. The whole time. "But he disappeared from their sight. And then they said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts ablaze? Weren't our hearts just burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?' That very hour they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and with them gathered together who said that the Lord has certainly been raised and appeared to Simon. And then they began to describe what happened on the road and how he was made known to them by the breaking of the bread. You see in the scripture, Jesus calls us into real purpose. He called those guys into real purpose. They were headed exactly in the direction opposite where they needed to be. But Jesus, in his love and his compassion, chased them down, drew them in, began to explain to them what was actually going on. And you see, we get a few important things from this one right here. And what happened here is, first, talks about those men. Their faltering hope was built on what they saw. And it was not based on God's word, not at all. And this is where their loss of purpose was strongly felt. Because they thought Jesus was the answer to everything. He's dead. What happened? And so their hope was faltering. And they didn't know what to do, but it was based on everything that they were looking at around them. It was based on what they could see, not based on what God's word said. And I tell you the truth, the same thing happens to us. I think at some point, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, you feel that purpose. You want to run with it and everything, but somewhere down the line, life gets real busy. Hardships come at you and you never expected them. They were out of the blue. Difficulties happen. Your kids start growing up. Now you're worried about yourself and your kids. Your kids go off to college. You don't have a clue what they're doing. That's a distraction. But life gets so busy and distracting that it steals our vision and our focus. And I'll tell you, along the dotted line that you see, you're going from A to B. And somewhere on this dotted line up here, a lot of us start to lose hope. And I tell you, at that point, you're going to go one of two directions. And Jesus will intervene. Because Jesus will intervene with his word, but your hope will go one of two directions. One, it'll take a nosedive into doubt. Or if we respond to Jesus, it can move back more towards certainty and certainty in his word. And you see that second thing there is that Jesus began to draw them into the big picture. Jesus began to show them, you know what, there is more here. I know you're so disappointed in what you see, but don't just trust what you see. Trust what I'm telling you. Because what Jesus did is he began to draw them into God's word. He began to explain to them every single thing from God's word. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament at this point, what's written there. Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament concerning the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. He is the answer to everything. These two guys' greatest hope was built on the fact that they thought Jesus was going to be the answer to everything. And Jesus shows up and shows them through the whole scripture, he is the answer to everything. Did you know that our first clue to Jesus Christ being the answer to everything is found in Genesis chapter 3? And he begins to show them bit by bit, and he draws them into the big picture. The pieces of the puzzle, they're not hidden from their view. The pieces of the puzzle aren't hidden from our view either. We just have to see them laid out in a very logical progression. You saw the advertisement up there. This is why I'm very, very strongly driven by this. You saw the advertisement there about the history or his story. You'll probably hear it in 100 different ways. The history class is starting on September the 11th. I'll be leading that. But what I want to do is the same thing that Jesus did with these two guys, because I think Jesus is a pretty good model. Wouldn't you agree? And you go back and you look through all of the scriptures and you see where Jesus is the guy. He's the one who's the answer to everything. He's an incredible man, but he's also God. And it all points to the fact that all of these clues through the Old Testament, there could be nobody else possible who's a deliverer except for Jesus Christ himself. We're going to walk through that in 7 weeks. I'd encourage you to register for that so that I actually know you're coming. We're going to have a book for you. But I would encourage you to register for that. Because as we begin to move through there, it's not just that we go, oh, yep, Jesus is the guy. Well, glad I took that class. No, there's practical things to learn every single bit of the way that you know what they do for us? They help us not miss the opportunities on the dotted line. Every single step of the way. And it helps us and draws us and begins to do exactly what it did with these two guys right here. And the third thing is this: understanding history from Jesus' perspective redirected them toward true significance. They were going the wrong way, and they're two decent guys. But the problem is they flirted with spiritual truth and didn't understand the big picture. But once they understood it, they headed right back in the right direction to where God's designed purpose for them was waiting. You see, they went back and they told the other 11 and they shared their testimony. It's important. One guy's named Cleopas and the other guy, I'm sure he had a name, but I have no idea what it is. But at least in that one moment of purpose right there that God designed them for, their testimony was huge. And you know what their testimony was? Jesus died, but he's alive. That's a big deal, isn't it? Cleopas and no-name dude? We're still talking about him 2,000 years later. How about that? You know why? They dove back into God's real purpose. There are legacy issues here. What if you're the no-name, but your legacy goes on for hundreds of years because you too decided to dive back into God's purpose? That's where Jesus is calling us to be people that make a real difference. So what do? Discovering our purpose. What does your dotted line look like? What you do on that dotted line helps you answer the questions. What am I missing and how do I get back to that real purpose? How do I discover that? First one is this: allow Jesus to draw you into the big picture. If you've got that question, I guarantee you 100% Jesus is willing to have that conversation with you. Just like the two men on the road to Emmaus, he engaged them in conversation, then he drew them straight into God's word. God's word is powerful. Let Jesus draw you into the big picture. Don't refuse the conversation with him. Make time to make that conversation. Second thing, realize that you don't create your true purpose. You discover it. We don't actually need to wear ourselves out trying to create our own purpose. We need just to go to Jesus and go to God and figure out what is the real purpose you created me for, discover it, and begin to live that as well. And that may mean you stay right there in that job where you are, that school or whatever, but you start realizing all the opportunities that God did not accidentally put around you that are really very purposeful and meaningful. And the third thing, make a plan to become a person who makes a real difference. If you don't make the plan, it will never happen. This does not automatically happen to people. Even people who have trusted in Jesus Christ and just want to ride out the rest of their lives, this doesn't automatically happen. You have to make a plan. What is your plan to understand the big picture? I would encourage you, join us starting September 11th at the Flex Space with the history discussions that we will have that lead us all the way and show us, you know, God's word is just one big giant story. It shows me God's purpose, and I'm now starting to discover where I fit in the middle of that. Join a life group. Life groups are huge, great places where you can build relationships with other people who are on this exact same journey. And this journey was meant to be done with other people and not just by yourself. But as I leave you today with this challenge, I just want to encourage you to make that plan. Maybe have a conversation with God and go, okay, I'm not sure if I'm missing anything or not, God, but can you help me see if I am missing something? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the way that you do show us how valued we are in your eyes and how much purpose you can give to us. God, I pray for people in this room right now. Their hope is faltering. God, I bet there's people in this room right now who thought you were something and now they're not sure. that are drifting like I did when I was in college, God, I just pray for those people's hearts right now. I pray that you will encourage them. I pray that you will draw them back into your love, into your presence, and into a conversation. God, I just pray that your work would be done today and that your Holy Spirit would work powerfully within us. We do give this time of response to you, and we love you. We pray in your name, Jesus.